Thank you. set up yet, but this will happen. So there will be, we're sending it to my email address, it's not happened yet. Then there will be a Moodle, and things will go online on the Moodle. So I'll be putting course materials up there, and this should be a bit automatic. You can just check in here, that will be through the course website. I can use these overhead projectors, they're kind of handy, and I can draw pictures and things like that. And then I'll also just take those and scan those in. The art can be a good substitute for your own personal notes, though. Like, I'm not necessarily going to write absolutely everything down. They're going to be a bit scribbly. This is kind of the equivalent of what might go on the top board, but because this is here, and I'm doing this anyway, I will, you know, when I get around to it, also might not be immediate, but when I get around to it, I'll just throw it into the scanner and throw it up on the Moodle. But don't count on these as the main notes. You do have a textbook, and you do have your own notes, and you may not have full information, but there also be a lot of things that, you know, by a week or two later might not make a lot of sense. Like, I might scribble something down. This is a very visual course, which is kind of cool. So I might have drawn some inexplicable picture. Higher dimensional visualizing, too, if you get into that. Like, mostly going to stick to two and three dimensions, but I might draw something that's like some, you know, three-dimensional curve or something on here, and it's not really going to look like that movie. Okay? It's going to be like drawing some crazy surface, and the day out, I'm like, oh man, I can totally see it. And then a week later, you'll have no idea what I drew. So, and there will be some cat scratches or whatever around it saying, like, yeah, this is how this is math. And again, that might not make sense a week after, you know, after you've seen it. So, don't count on these as your actual notes, but if they're a little bit helpful, it's sort of useful to go back and look at them a little bit. I'll try to make them available, but again, also I don't do it immediately necessarily. So a lot more of course info. I will put on a course info sheet as well, and hopefully by next class, and definitely hopefully by next week, I'll have a lot more of this set up. As I said, I was parachuted in very last minute, and HR has not pushed things through to get me an email address yet. I was promised that it would take less than 2 months, which is what it took last time. So by November, I should have an email address and contact information, and there will be a Moodle by November, is the promise I've been given. Ideally, by at least next week. So there will be a course info sheet that will go up on the Moodle. We'll talk a bit more about that when that all comes through. I'll give you my email address and things like that. There will be ways of contacting me. And there will be more information about the course and the course breakdown and all of that sort of stuff. My office is in the Ross Building, 502. This will all just go on the Moodle. Don't worry about, you know, writing that down. This will go on the Moodle. This will be available for you to see. My thought was to have my office hours after the Monday class. I don't know if there's sort of like a big block of students that has a conflict with that, but if there is, we can try to take a different time. But if there's still some people who can't make that, just get in touch with me. Like, we'll arrange a different time. Like, if there's just certain time slots, there's not going to be one time slot that works for everyone. So get in touch with me. Ideally early. I know I was undergrad too, so that's not going to happen. Like, right before midterm. Things that I just cannot prepare the answer to. I need you to explain the entirety of calculus to me in the next 3 hours or something. That's going to happen. I don't judge you, don't worry. But on the other hand, I am going to tell you, I'm an old person. This means that I go to bed really early. Like not even undergrad, like even old person early, right? Like, so don't count on me to answer emails, you know, at 10 o'clock the night before. By all means, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to be annoyed that you email me close to an exam or close to a deadline or something like that. I'm not going to judge you for it. I'm not going to remember either. I'm not going to be like looking at your midterm and be like, this was the same person who emailed me again. Not literally someone who was up drinking and browsing and stuff, and so I'm going to judge you poorly on this exam. Don't worry about that. Email me if you're interested. Feel free to email me. Don't worry about it. But I'm an old person. This is very different. I'm in bed by 10, so, you know, think about your grandparents. That this is me. So keep that in mind. But again, I was an undergrad too much, so I know this is going to happen. But yeah, my hope is that I should sort of take it quick just by hand. If I put my office hour after class on Monday, so that would be sort of 1:30 to 2:30 on Monday. Does anyone have a conflict for that time slot? Okay, that's a good chunk of people. Does Wednesday or Friday work there? Are people have conflicts for the Wednesday and Friday because it's the same class? Same class. Okay. It still seems to be a bit of a minority, so my thought is I might still put it then. And then yeah, if you want to meet up with me, want an office hour time, email me, let me know, because that time I will be in the office. If you drop in for, like, if you just, you know, are there and want to ask me something. But what you can do is just grab me after class. Like, if you have a question and you want to get some time to meet up, just very quickly catch me after class and let me figure something out. So if I stayed later, is that you have one other class right after? Is there something even after that? I know they tend to really happy classes for you guys. Okay, so that's something that might work well. I'll make my office hours on Monday, 1:30 to 2:30, and if you're someone who has a class in that time slot, ideally email me ahead of time, that's great, but if not, try to catch me after class and just say, like, I can't meet you till 2:30, can you stay around? And I probably can't. Again, old person, like, what else am I doing? So, you know, either on the Monday or on whatever other day, like, yeah, I'll try to make it through. Ideally on the Monday, I'm going to be sticking around anyway. So if you grab me and say, like, can you meet at 2:30 or, like, a little bit after 2:30 or whatever, I'll stick around. But, yeah, if you want to meet up, like, if you want to ask some office hour questions, yeah, feel free to grab me on any other day. So we'll figure something out that works for everyone. So hopefully that'll work out. Again, this is going to go up on the course info with the Moodle setup, but we'll be able to clarify that. So I think that's useful. Also, I mean, I take it there, like, math aid centers and things like that are useful. Also, just your peers. Like, you're in this class with very bright people, with all the other lovely bright people. So I encourage you to get to know each other, and sometimes you'll find that more useful. So if you're coming to my class, nobody's style is going to fit absolutely everyone, and you might just find you can really be useless. You might just find you don't get me. So come to my office hour. I still encourage it, and maybe one-on-one will sort of understand each other better. But there's a good chance you still won't understand me. So I do encourage you to find other sources. Unfortunately, there aren't tutorials for this class, but if you do go to, you know, whatever math aid centers in your has, you might just find someone who you can mix a little bit better. Or, unfortunately, one of the things that I often like to do, and it's a little bit hard to do here, is to have two of these a bit more communal office hours so that, you know, people will meet each other that way. So even if you still don't understand me, you might meet some friends that way, which is also fun. Like, that's cool. But you can also, like, study off each other and, like, get from each other what's going on. That's always useful to do as well. So these are all useful things to do if you're a bit confused about the material. But as I said, I'm always happy to try to arrange time to discuss things. So for course info, there will be, as I said, once the administration gets pushed through, once I, you know, defeat this particular bureaucratic monster, which hopefully I will be the one who wins, there will be a Moodle, and sort of general course info will go up. The course breakdown that I had in mind was to have three midterms and the exam. So the midterms would be 20% each, and then the exam would be 40%. One thing I have been able to confirm, so I know you guys are told that there was a required text, which is this James Stewart. I'm not going to do a question about required text. Other ones do as well, but there's probably a chance that a lot of you have already got out and, like, shelled out your, like, $200 or whatever. But one thing I wanted to see from you guys, again, there's like a million different editions of this too, but my feeling is if you get the second year material, if you get the half second year multi-year A material, then it's the same. So there's also one that's blue, which I think has some differences earlier, but in the part that we're doing, that difference doesn't matter. So if you've already bought that earlier to your course, and you still have it, then that works. So it's sort of chapter 12 through maybe the first part of 16. So 12 through 15, and then probably a little bit into 16 that we're going to be covering in this course. I think this is the one that they think was marked down as a required text for you guys. As I said, I'm not fussy about that. I'm not going to, like, go from any one particular textbook. There's a lot of good multivariate top textbooks out there. I can put up some on the website of some other suggestions. Well, one thing I'm wondering about is the WebAssign. I don't know if it went up as mandatory to get WebAssign, because I know that gets expensive than sort of presenting combined. So anyone, just show of hands if anyone has sent to it that, like, the books are expensive mandatory. Okay, looks like not. So a lot of these come with WebAssign. WebAssign is the code that comes with a particular textbook you buy, and then you go online and buy the book used because someone's already used that book. And it is a way of getting a little bit more money out of you guys. So I'm not a huge fan of that. I kind of want you guys to you know, not have to pay for that if you don't want to, if you have a good source of these textbooks. So it sounds like WebAssign is not made mandatory. So I'm not going to put WebAssign into the marketing scheme. I'm quite happy to like put some WebAssign problem sets up, because like if you do have it, they are kind of nice. Like it's kind of nice to have these like nice little animated, you know, interactive computery things. So that's kind of nice. But as I said, I really don't want to make it mandatory, because this thing costs an arm and a leg, and sometimes the bookstore mentioned that the last time I went to the bookstore, got confused over editions, so people had to go and buy it, and then they had to go and try to get refunds because it turned out to be the wrong one, and a lot of back and forth, and all of this is complicated by WebAssign. So I'm not going to make that mandatory, I'm not going to put it in the grade scheme, but I will, over the course of the course, you know, put together some review assignments. So if you do have WebAssign, you can go on and use it and have some fun playing with all the little interactive things, and that gives you some insight into, you know, some of this multivariate stuff. They might have some really nice ones. And that'll be a good review, but for those of you who don't have it, I will put up other review questions. So, one of the nice things about Stuart is that it does have a lot of really good, like, problem set questions. So, you won't be mandatory, they won't be for marks, but I will be, you know, putting them up online, and they'll be a good way of you guys getting a sense of, you know, whether you're understanding the material or not, and a really good thing if you think you're, you know, there's a lot of answers in the back of the book, so if you're doing some of the review questions and you're not getting the same answer, and you're wondering if you're just not quite getting it, that's a really good way of thing to come to me with, just to say, can we meet up for an office hour, and can we go through this and find out, like, am I really not getting this, or is it just that, you know, I added two numbers together wrong, or something like that. So Stuart is quite nice for lots of problems, but I'm not, as I said, I'm not particularly fussy about mandatory textbooks, so I will put up a few other suggestions of other textbooks that I know of. But probably any multivariate calculus book is probably okay, and we'll probably have problems in it if you can go through and have sense of understanding it. And certainly if you are using a different textbook and come to the office hours, we'll work through all the problems you're working through. So that's the textbook. So yeah, if you've already shelled out the money, it is actually a nice textbook. I mean, it is expensive, but it is actually a nice textbook. And as I said, good problem sets, that's one of the really nice things about it, but there are also other good books out there. So don't stress too much if you don't, you know, feel like shelling out, you know, whatever it costs for this, or carrying this thing around a little bit, you know, people are versions now. All right. So we're not going to get too much into very much today's the first day. I think it's the first day of class for you guys. When I was under here, we used to have a cross week too, so it feels bad for you. You guys got a fall reading week though, so I'm glad to see that there's still some enthusiasm for cross week, even though you've been like forced to sit in this like indoor environment and get up before noon, presumably, possibly not people, but probably expected to get up before noon, like what are they thinking? So I'm not going to get too deep into anything today, but I'll try to give you a sense of what's going to be happening in this course, and then the ramp up will be relatively slow anyway, so don't worry too much. Honestly, I don't think this course is going to be super hard for most of you guys. Like, you guys are bright, you guys are, like, people with some math background. The successor course might be a bit more challenging, so I'm going to give you some warning about that, but I think the stuff I have to cover isn't going to be super hard. So I'm going to give you a sense today of, you know, kind of what's going to happen in this course, just that I'm not going to get too deep into stuff on the first day. But we're going to end up starting with a bit of a review in our office. So that should be good background.
What's the website?
It's not set up yet, but there should be a Moodle, and you should. I think that you guys get added automatically through the course. So this is, I don't know if you came in a bit late, don't remember, but York, because York itself is very late on everything. York has not made me an account yet at HR. Apparently, it in very much the last minute, someone left with not a lot of notice, and it was like, yeah, you do this? And I'm like, yeah, okay. And I've been promised an email address, and I've been promised this happening sometime in the next few months, but ideally in the next few days. And when that happens, there will be a Moodle, and then once there's a Moodle, that will serve as a course website. So I take it if you're registered, you get added automatically. If you're not registered, like you're just watching, I'm completely open to that, and I can probably arrange to add you manually. Like sometimes that happens to someone, like, you know, wants to review the material, but they don't need the credit or something, so if that applies to anyone, more than happy to add you to the Moodle. Also more than happy to meet with you in office hours and stuff like that. Like, I'm not going to push you, but if you're not paying for this course, you can learn no knowledge from me. So ideally, this should be relatively smooth once you have the Moodle. That'll be the website. All the stuff that I'm going to post is going to get posted there. So that'll include whatever notes that you decide to post, whatever information is sort of useful that I think is sort of extra stuff or things like my office hours, things like my office itself, email address, all that kind of administrative stuff that will all go on the Moodle. And I take it that if you're registered, you guys get added automatically. Once that's set up, I will check in again, and if there's whatever glitch is happening, we can address them, because certainly there will be some, that is definitely a thing that happens. So if I set up the Moodle and then you're just not adding you, we'll work something out. I'll go and find a new guy and what's going on here. So that's hopefully some, that would be sort of administrative. Oh, yeah. They're not set yet, but they'll be set hopefully not too long from now, and definitely I'll let you know ahead of time when the midterms are coming up. But I'll try to at least have tentative dates pretty soon, so you'll know approximately when they're happening. And then those dates won't be carved in stone. So when I put out a bit of an outline and say when the midterms are happening, I don't want you to be like, okay, this is carved in stone. I'm not showing up to class until literally that day. There are various, always any number of administrative reasons why a midterm might get pushed a little bit forward or back. So I don't want people thinking oh good, I am not going to class again until a midterm happens. By all means, you can do that, and there's any number of reasons to do that. But at the very least, if you are doing that, check in on the Moodle, because if it does get moved back or forward a little bit, that's going to be on the Moodle. And so, the dates of the midterms. I mean, I encourage you to come to class anyway. That's cool. But, if you aren't going to come to class, also, if you are the guy who's, responsible for someone who's not coming to class, this is definitely a thing that people do. You get the friend to just say, let me know when the midterms are happening, and then I'll, that's when I'll show up. Again, do your thing. That's cool. But, if you are that person, try to, keep on top of it. My dad, apparently, back in his, reckless youth, had the friend who was supposed to be keeping him updated, and when the friend forgot to tell him about one of the midterms, my dad was really mad at him, and my mom kind of put it in place, but you're the one who wasn't going to class at all. So, don't get mad at your friend if they didn't tell you the date. Do check in on the Moodle yourself occasionally, but ideally, come to class, have some fun. So, judging by the slides in the role, it will be this class, and probably will get, another classroom or something, so we can space you guys out a little bit more. And it'll just be during the time of the class, because I guess organizing some time slot that's going to work for everyone is sort of a bit of a nuisance. The downside of that is that it means the midterm will only be the 50 minutes, which on the one hand, they're nice and short. On the other hand, it's always tempting as the instructor to sort of forget, how hard it is to do material that you didn't just literally write yourself. It's easy when you're an instructor to write down all the problems you're doing. And you just wrote them down. You're like, oh yeah, that must be super easy to do. I'm gonna put 90 of these on there. You guys can do that in 50 minutes, right? So this is a mistake that a lot of us make. I will try not to do that, and I will try to take into account, because it is a very short midterm. On the one hand, yeah, short midterm sounds great, but on the other hand, it gives you less time to settle in and think about what's going on, calm down, and not get over the sort of whatever worrying you do, all that kind of stuff. I know a lot of that's natural, so I am going to try and make sure that these tests are not too killer. If it does turn out I accidentally just gave you something to turn into a bloodbath, that will get kind of nudged up. Don't worry. So if everyone else also couldn't answer anything on it, then we'll work something out, but it will be my goal not to do that. My goal is more to just kind of make sure that everyone kind of knows what they're doing, kind of isn't just sort of coasting along, but they actually kind of learn the skills. It's not meant to be skill testing questions. It's not meant to pick out who is the super genius who can do a 90 questions in 50 minutes kind of thing. It is meant to be more just just kind of make sure you're actually doing the work and actually learning the material. If along the way, as I said, I'll be giving you some problem sets and stuff to sort of just do yourself. And if along the way you're just finding you're kind of not getting it, as I said, I'm very open to meeting with you. And then there's other resources if you find that I just don't make sense to you. We'll find ways to try to make sure that you keep up with it. I know there's always going to be a certain amount of panic. we intend to do the problem sets, and then they get pushed later and later, and then the midterm happens, and it's like, well, that's a specific game. It's going to happen. My goal, as I said, is not to make the midterm be too killer. They're meant to just more kind of make sure that, you know, you're actually doing the books. It's not just, you know, you're not just, you know, not doing anything. So that's sort of the hope. And so that'll be, so we'll be, yeah, three midterms, 20% each. One exam, 40%, and WebAssign will not be mandatory, but I will throw to get some problem sets for those of you who do have it. Alright. So as I said, I'm not gonna do a ton today and sort of not be very nice and just like jump into the material. You know, we have to do like higher dimensional visualization like for class. So I guess I'll tell you sort of an outline of what's gonna be happening just so you know what's gonna be happening, and then I guess I'll start in on a, if we have a little bit of time left, we'll start in on a little bit of a review of linear algebra. So basically, the overall outline of this course is going to be sort of give an outline. This is sort of roughly. Like functions that we're going to do calculus on, and what this is going to represent is some sort of curve. It could be in two or three space, or higher dimensional space if you're inclined, as I said, this is one of those kind of speak to lower dimensions. So the actual math doesn't get tremendously more difficult because these are just sort of three separate functions. But there's actually some interesting geometry that comes up already. So even though the actual math of calculus has not gotten tremendously difficult yet, there's some interesting geometry that happens. There's also connections to things like physics, so if you do physics, I think someone mentioned that maybe the physicists have a different math course for this course that they would be taking. Like, do you have a sense maybe by hand of their physicists in the class? Not really. Okay, but maybe there's some people who have some interest in physics or some background in physics. If you do physics, doing calculus in higher dimensions like this is really useful because, you know, things don't always travel just along a single line back and forth. Something might move around in space, and you still want to look at things like velocity and acceleration and what's going on, like visually what's going on. So that's useful to have, but it's not going to be tremendously difficult. So that's sort of how we're going to get our feedback. Then we get into functions of several variables. So this is where things get a little bit more complicated. This is going to be like a function of x, y, and z, or something like that. And f itself could also have multiple components like this. So we're going to look at things like partial derivatives. Probably you've already seen a little bit about partial derivatives, like, you know, you take a derivative with respect to one variable, but there's another variable there, and then later you might take the derivative with respect to a different variable. And there's all sorts of applications of these. There's some of the obvious ones, and then there's all sorts of other sort of interesting ways that this tool gets used. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about, well, basically we're going to do calculus. So calculus is things like derivatives and integrals. So we're going to do things like what do derivatives look like in context. And then we're going to look at the things that you normally look at when you look at derivatives. So this is going to include, you know, rules. So we're going to look at what does the chain rule look like in higher dimensions, what does the product rule look like in higher dimensions. All of that kind of stuff that you've done before. It should be easier this time around because you already know the chain rule, the product rule. And this is just saying what we're doing with it in this context. And then we're going to do other things we do with derivatives. So we're going to do some geometry stuff. So that's going to be things like tangent plane, or all the other things you want to be able to figure out with geometry, so you remember when you learned calculus the first time. There's all this really neat geometry stuff that suddenly you're able to do. This tool gives you a way of doing geometry that you would have been able to do on curved surfaces if you didn't have calculus. And once you do multivariate calculus, you suddenly have more geometry stuff over there. So we're going to be looking at things that are related to geometry, and there's optimization. So you all remember doing max-min problems in single-variable calculus, where calculus allows you to sort of locate possible places for maximum and minima, and then try to figure out what those are. And these come up in practical problems a lot. And we're going to do this in multiple variables. And it ends up looking kind of similar, but it's naturally a bit more complicated, so we're going to look at what that actually looks like. And this turns out to be really useful. A neat one that I came across recently, and I'll post some of the links to this, especially when they're more relevant, but I'll post some of the links to those really quickly anyway, is I was looking at an online grad course from Stanford, which is doing machine learning. So if some of you are interested in like machine learning, natural language processing, all that kind of stuff, one of the useful tools that they use here is this multivariate optimization. You have a function, and you don't really know what it looks like, so you want to optimize it. You want to find the minimum of it, and you don't really know what it looks like, so it's not immediately obvious where this minimum is going to be. And so you just end up using a multivariate calculus tool to try to approximate the minimum. So that's another place that we use calculus. And then there's integrals. And here, if you're comfortable with integrals and single variables, there won't be actually a ton more. We'll just be kind of learning how they work. So we're going to be, in this course, we're going to be doing things like integrating on a rectangle or integrating maybe on a subset of a rectangle, like a circle or something like that. And then maybe a little bit into integrating on some sort of curved surface. But basically what this is going to entail is all the integration that you learn how to do with a single variable, we're going to learn how to use those tools to do this integration. So if you're like me, you found all this integration rules kind of, you know, tricky. You may not be, but I found this really tricky, that it was like, you have I've tried all these different rules, and it might or might not work, and it may not even be possible. The textbook that we use even said, if I made one tiny typo and one big problem, you may not be able to do it, and you may not even know that this is not a thing you should try an integral for, and it's just because I made a typo, and you could spend a number of time trying to do that. So that was really tough. But here, we're going to be doing a lot more of this. Here's how to take a higher-dimensional integral and put it in terms of a one-dimensional integral, or in terms of just doing a one-dimensional integral several times. So it's not going to be tremendously harder. If you're kind of comfortable, and I'm going to try to keep the problems not super hard because I don't like doing difficult integrals. So I'm going to try to set things up so that, you know, so it's just the problems that you're doing on things like the midterms. Problem sets, you know, I might give you something harder, but the midterms and the exam, I'm not going to give you, like, overly disgusting integrals. I'm just going to give you more conceptual things like, you know, yeah, we're integrating on a rectangle now rather than just on a line, or we're integrating maybe on a curved surface. The harder stuff in this is going to be potentially in the sequel course. So I don't want to make you all feel like, oh yeah, this is all super easy. The stuff in this course is going to be, I think, easier, whereas like the next course might have some of the harder stuff. So they get into the more complicated, like integrating on curved surfaces. We'll do a little bit of that to kind of find areas and stuff like that, areas of curved surface, but it's the next course where they have to cover like the much more complicated. If you've heard about things like Green's theorem or Hilbert's theorem during your textbook, things like that get a little bit more complicated. That's the next course, so you don't have to worry about that yet. Many of you will have to take that. So, and then I guess some change of variable sort of stuff. So that's another thing we have to look at. Because we have more than one variable, we now have to worry about changing those variables. So if I give you one coordinate system, especially if I have a curved surface, if I'm looking at the Earth and I'm looking at latitude and longitude, then, you know, this is a coordinate system. But if someone else has a different coordinate system than the curved surface, if we're integrating something, we still hope we get the same answer. If we're doing calculus, we still hope we get the same physical answer. The answers still mean the same thing, even if we're starting with these different coordinate systems. If someone has a different place, they could be a pole or something like that, and we're in a different latitude and longitude, we should still get the same answer. So we're going to have to fuss around with changing variables. Conceptually, it's a bit of a thing to get your head around, but hopefully by the time you get through, you're really comfortable with this, so it won't be confusing. Maybe it's just to prevent you guys from getting into any particular confusing situation. So that's kind of a rough outline of what we're doing. I know this makes it look fairly minimal, but you know, it's obviously a lot more detailed once you get into it. But my sense is that this is not going to be an overly challenging course for you guys. I understand that you guys have, you know, a reasonable healthy amount of math background, and are, you know, probably the right people who have some interest in ability in math. So my sense is this is not going to be a tremendously challenging course. My hope is that it's going to be kind of cool. Like, my hope is it's going to be interesting, and that a few things are going to kind of click into place. I think you kind of wonder what calculus looks like in higher dimensions. Maybe you've seen a little bit of this sort of stuff, like you brushed up against it in some of your other courses, like you saw a partial derivative and you kind of know what that means, but you don't have kind of the full picture. My hope is just to kind of click a lot of that into place. My hope is that also those of you who are into visualizing things, this is going to be really visual. So it's going to be like curves and higher dimensions. I highly encourage you, if you're into it, to try to do this in higher dimensions beyond the 2 and 3. Like, it's kind of a fun game. As I said, the course will mostly stick to 2 and 3, but if you're into visualizing things, this is really nice. So my hope is that it's kind of an interesting course for you, but my thinking is that probably it's not going to be a super challenging one. Successor might start becoming super challenging, but for you guys, this course will hopefully be, you know, if you're reasonably comfortable with your calculus and to some extent with your linear algebra, this course is not going to be, I don't think, killer material. It's going to be more like, okay, that makes sense. That's sort of this thing I kind of been seeing a little bit, and now it's all getting in place a little bit better. So that's sort of my hope for the course. A little bit more time. I don't feel like I first day. I don't need to keep you till right the last instant, but I guess we can get into a little bit of a review of linear algebra. Oh, yeah.
About the linear algebra, is the course 21, but the linear algebra 1 is prerequisite
for this? I don't know course codes offhand.
But the linear algebra 1, because like it's not listed in the course description, and I'm taking it currently with this, so I'm not sure.
It should be okay. Okay. Like if you're
I know matrices and everything, but like, I know matrices and like okay. Basic linear algebra, but not the whole course.
Okay, so you should probably be fine. Again, up and like probably do a bit of crash course, but probably you won't need that. My feeling is that I don't know what the high school curriculum looks like, but even like the high school stuff that you probably saw.
I didn't go to high school here.
Okay, so probably you have more than people who went to high school here. The curriculum has changed since I went here. As I said, I'm multiple, but if you went somewhere else, it's a good chance you haven't been somewhere. But basically, the extent to which we're going to use linear algebra is we're going to have a sense of like the feature of worship, the idea of like extra alignment, and then so on, we're going to have to deal with matrices, and we're going to have to do like matrix multiplication and that sort of thing. So if you've seen that before, and the better of this, the more you have to learn, the better. Like, we kind of have a sense of what it would look like, or we're just very comfortable doing it, that's always very useful. But if you're worried, you're kind of pushing the body. So, the first thing I'm going to do is just sort of a quick review of some of the sort of linear algebra kind of stuff. I'll just get started in that in the last few minutes and make sure that everyone's kind of on the same page. So basically, you're probably familiar with things like the law of the plane and with the free space. So if we have a plane, we usually draw it like this, and we have our x-coordinate and our y-coordinate, and we have positive and negative, you know, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, then if you're looking at a point, you could have, say, this point here, and we get the x coordinate first and the y coordinate second, so that's -2, 3. And this is what that looks like. What we're going to be doing eventually, we're going to be doing like interesting curved shapes and stuff in these kinds of coordinates, which is really useful. It's very important to have the fundamental part of knowing what these coordinates mean. And then we'll go into tomorrow, we'll go into the algebra in a bit more detail. With the three dimensions, it gets a little bit harder to draw, but there we have an x, y, and a z, which people will sort of draw it sticking out like that. We imagine it sort of coming out of the paper in some way. And we use the right-hand rule, so where if you curve your hand from x to y in this sort of a direction, then your thumb of your right hand is the direction of the z line. So we think of it as coming out of the paper. It's actually not super important that you memorize it. It actually turns out, like, if you just do the algebraic math, it all turns out completely the same way. Like, the universe doesn't know what was going on in your head. So don't worry about, like, memorizing right-hand rule. I know a lot of people in high school see left-hand rule, and then they teach you a right-hand rule, and no one ever says what happened. Just don't worry about it too much, because the math will work out either way. But usually when I'm drawing or thinking about this, this is what I'll be thinking about. So that way, you know, we'll kind of be a bit more on the same page. Is that a question or a stretch?
Shouldn't there also be a negative z axis?
Yes, it should. It gets even more difficult to draw, but thank you for pointing that out. So there is this negative z axis that goes into the page, and that's also important. So thanks for pointing that one out. So using that, you want to have some notion of length. If you're really doing geometry and stuff like that, and as I said, the geometry gets really interesting, but we have a few basic tools. So the first, you know, few days, I'm going to be just reviewing some of these really basic tools. So a lot of this is going to be just really review for you guys. We have a notion of distance and length. So if I want to say how long is this vector, -2, 3, I'm going to use the Pythagorean theorem, which says, if I look at the legs of this triangle, if I look at the legs of this triangle, this is length 2, and this is length 3. So if I remember my Pythagorean theorem, then I know that, you know, this is A, this is B, and this length that I want is called C. Then I remember that A squared plus B squared is equal to C squared. So if I want C, then that is the square root of A squared plus B squared. And so in this case, I can calculate this. This is equal to 2 squared plus 3 squared. So this is equal to the square root. square root of 13. So that's how we calculate a length. So that's really important to be able to do. This is also true if I'm doing three dimensions. So if I'm doing three dimensions, it's a little bit harder to draw, but if someone just gives you a vector and says, find the length of vector, say, -1, -3, -4, I can do the same thing. This is equal to the square root of -1 squared plus 3 squared plus -4 squared, which I can compute and say, okay, well, this is equal to 1 plus 9 plus 16 square rooted, which is equal to the square root of 26, which I'm not going to calculate by hand. But you can also do length in three dimensions. This is actually true in any number of dimensions you get into. So the reason that this works is if you do the geometry, you sort of bust around the geometry and look at it, you end up getting, I'll see if I can draw this in a way that actually makes sense.
Wait, just imagine a rectangular prism.
Yeah, so you're looking at the diagonal rectangular prism. That's a good way of thinking about it. But if you should draw in the first triangle, you can draw. You know, this is an exercise for you guys to do. It's a little bit hard to draw. But basically, you're going to be doing one triangle and then a second triangle using this Pythagorean theorem. Let's see if I can draw this in a way that makes any sense. But if I have some point that I can think of as like hovering somewhere, and it's got these three coordinates, then first I can calculate this length using the Pythagorean theorem, and then so to picture this plane that's sort of cutting through there, this is the length that I want. It's going to have this hypotenuse that I already calculated as one of its sides, and this one is another side. So I'll leave that as just sort of a fun visualization exercise. If you guys want to try to picture higher dimensional geometry, you can just use the Pythagorean theorem twice. You can also do that in any number of dimensions. So if you're doing a higher dimensional problem, this is how we're going to calculate the length. You just sum up all the squares and take the square root. And we can use that to calculate the distance between two points as well. So if I say you want to look at the distance between, say 2, 5, and -1, 4, then I'm drawing these. 2, 5 can be somewhere like here. 2, 5, and -1, 4 is going to be somewhere down here. And if I want the distance between them, I take either one of them and I subtract the other numbers from it, because that will give me this distance and this distance. So I will take 2 minus -1, and that'll be this distance, so that's 3. And I'll take 5 minus 4, and no, I did this as a -4, so I'll keep that as a -4. So 5 minus -4, so I drew that in the wrong place, and that's going to be equal to 9, and then my distance is going to be 3 squared, 9 squared, which is equal to the square of 90. So that will give me this full distance. And I can also do that in three dimensions. I just subtract all three coordinates. So I can write one down really quickly, and then I'll let you all go. So if I want the distance between, say, 1, -2, 5, again, this gets a bit harder to draw. I'm not going to try drawing this one. But then I can do the same thing. I say 1 minus -3 is equal to 4, and -2 minus 1 is equal to -3, and 5 minus 3 is equal to 2. And then I spread them up and add them up. So this is 16 plus 9 plus 4. So this is equal to the square root of 29. So this way I can calculate distances as well in my higher dimensional space. And this also works in any number. All right, I'll let you go, and I'll see you guys all on Friday.
x squared plus z squared, and y squared plus z squared, and x squared plus y squared plus z squared. If you close,
you know, 2 o'clock and you're like, oh, I wonder if she's in her office. Monday's the day that I'm most likely to be there when it's like 2 o'clock. Whereas the other days, if no one's there, I'm like,
oh.
Probably not, unless you let me know. If you write me, then I'll check in, and if you write me and say, like, can I meet you later, I'll try to be there, so we'll arrange something, but Monday's the day that if you just decide to drop in, that's the day I'll be there. Other days, speaking, like,
what's your email address? Like,
so it is going to be the first 8 letters of my last name, so I can spell that out for you, but it's probably easy. So R-E-D, E-L, M-E-I. I think it's, it might be at mastat.yourq.ca, but maybe at yourq.ca should work. I think it should work. Yeah. So that is what it will be, but that will go up online as well. So that will go up on the school. This is definitely the pass for me. And
for this
Would you like one email or a physical? Either one works, whatever's easier for you. I can write it down for you, but check online because we might have, like, York might not be able to get me the one that they've said they're going to get me. So I can write it to you if you want.
I came here with no one. some chances also won't work yet. So you get a bounce message. They're working on setting it up, but it may not be set up yet.
Is there a website? Do you have the class?
I think... What was the class key? I think they told me that they were going to use this as my class key. I don't know if you use the same class key.
Oh, okay.
But I think if that looks like the right thing, but it's not. I don't know if it's set up yet, so it might not be functioning.
That's what I want. See, you were already saying,
I will ask around to see if I can find like printing facilities that will let me do that, and if we can't find something, then I'll do it. I'll see if we can find something around York that will just let you do that. Odd that they don't have a good printer for that.
Oh, that one of the but only didn't have a reference.
Okay. So I will. I also don't know what York has access to. We'll work something out, definitely. Later on, if you send me an email with the request, then I'll have them as like a checklist, and then I'll make sure I do all the things. So if I don't remember, just definitely remind me.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, hopefully this will all work out. As I said, if I forget, it's not me trying to be mean, it's just me forgetting. So if you write it all in an email, then I'll have it like a checklist, and I can make sure I do all the things.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm going to do a set of
but I understand right now, like, my choice
to pick it up.